back into the Lord's message. I believe there was a message for our people last weekend. But this morning, he's got a specific message he gave to me for you all. So, but we've kind of been going through a little mini-series on where's God. You know, sometimes we can all have moments in life wondering where God's at, depending upon what we're walking through in life. We walk through things, right? Sometimes we're on a hilltop. Sometimes we're in a valley. But we all continue to walk. And sometimes we can wonder, where's God in my walk? You know, we talked about how blaming God is not necessarily wrong as long as you're complaining to God and not complaining about God. Right? Big difference there. We also talked about how we can see God's face in the good and the bad, that he is always around there. And that's something I want to come kind of continue this morning about seeking God. Seeking God wherever you're at in life. Seeking God in the circumstances that you have right now and knowing how to seek God in the circumstances that you may have tomorrow. Because seeking God is so important for us to do that. In fact, seeking God is so important that there are many places in the Bible where it tells us that we need to seek God. Right? One of the most famous, one of the most memorized, one of the most well-known is Matthew 7:7, where he talks about how we're to ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. Right? If you go into the book of Luke, it says that same thing in there. In Luke 11:9, it says, ask, seek, and knock. It's an important part of the seeking that's in there that we're going to focus on today. But there's a particular scripture in the book of Matthew that I want you to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, your apps or whatever you look at for your scripture, take them out and I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, please. And I want you to turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And when you get to that 6th chapter, I want you to go down, follow along, until you get to about verse 33, or in verse 33. And in verse 33, it says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're told there to seek his kingdom, to seek his righteousness, to seek what we need. And all the rest of the stuff that after we seek him and that's in our lives will be given to us. That's something a little bit unique. As believers in our Lord Jesus, we're continually called to seek Jesus, to seek God. We're supposed to do that in every aspect of our life. Well, we should certainly try to do that in every aspect of our life, right? Why? Because, well, we are told to. We need to seek his presence, seek the presence of Jesus to know him better. To have him in our lives deeper. To hear him speak to us in our hearts, in our minds, in our ears. To seek him. You know, there's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament. It's called panim. Pawnee means presence. Okay? We know that we're supposed to seek his presence. Pawnee. But we're also heard such terminology as seeking his face, seeking his person. Right? And these are all the same thing. We need to seek God in his fullness. We need to seek him through our life. When we seek his presence, it's the same thing as seeking his face. It's the same thing as seeking his love. It's the same thing as seeking his person. So if you hear me go about and change these terminologies around, they all mean the same thing. To seek him is the big thing. We are to seek God. Now, when I got ready for this message today, I went and I did a word search throughout the Bible of seeing how many times the word seek is in there. And it's in there a lot. Seek. If you did a word search for that, you could go in and you could see that there's many places in the Bible that tells us to do that. Seek the Lord. In fact, if you look up that phrase, it would tell you in there many times to seek the Lord. And I've come to realize that if we're told something many times, we should probably pay attention to it, right? I had a teacher in high school. Science teacher, loved him. But one of his things where he would prepare his students for things at the beginning of the semester, and he would lay it out for everybody and goes, okay, I'm going to tell you things. Okay? If I repeat something, you should probably write it down. So he was preparing us for what was coming up. If he said it twice, we probably should write that down. If we didn't write it down, it's because we were not following along. But the Bible does some of these same things where it says things many multiple times. And then we're supposed to pay attention to that. You know, we're told to love our neighbors, right? In fact, if you do and you look up that phrase in the Bible, you're going to see approximately 9 times in the Bible where it tells us that we're supposed to love our neighbors, right? Matthew 22, verse 73 through 79 says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, right? We know this part. But we're also supposed to love our neighbors. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're supposed to have that deep love for each other in our hearts, to love each other. But that's not the only place, and that's not the first place in the Bible that it says that. In fact, if you want to turn all the way back to the book of Leviticus, why don't you go ahead and just do me a favor and turn all the way back to Leviticus. And if you look in verse 19 and you skim through there, you will see another place in there where it tells us that we're supposed to love our neighbors. Leviticus 19. And if you're there, look at verse 18 quick. In verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So we have a long history in the Bible of loving each other or being told to love each other. Thank you. Of being a part of each other and loving on one another and making sure that we're loving each other. But in the Bible, as we talked about before, we're told in many places to seek God. In fact, if you did a word search for that, it's many more than loving our neighbors. It's many, many times upon that. We already read through Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, right? And everything else is given to us, right? But if we look back in the book of Deuteronomy at chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but, you know, that if we're there to seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Sounds similar to something else. That we're supposed to seek God with all our heart, with all our soul. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, it says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. We're supposed to devote ourselves to doing that. Psalm 105 says, give praise to the Lord, right? Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, his holy name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. That means without ending. No pause, no nothing. It's not like it's something on TV where you can hit the pause button and come back to it. No, you don't get to do that. We get to seek his face always. But the question is, when you're walking through something in life where you're down in that valley, how do we seek God? How do we seek him always when we're feeling in such a way? You know, I love the book of Hebrews. Anybody that knows me has been here for a bit. Knows I love the book of Hebrews, especially Hebrews 11, because Hebrews 11 really gives us a look into what faith is and how we're supposed to be faithful. Anybody that knows me knows I will quote, you know, Hebrews 11, 1 many times about what faith truly is. It's believing and it's hoping. But there's also a few verses after that in verse 6 where it talks about how we are supposed to have faith, and it's impossible to please God without this faith, because anyone who comes to Him must believe in God, right? If we believe in God, we have faith in God, that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I'm laying it out pretty thick for everybody. Multiple times. So hopefully you're writing it down. Seeking God is essential. Seeking Him always, seeking Him earnestly, seeking His face, seeking God. And we seek God, but it's a conscious decision that we have to make to seek God. It's not something that automatically comes, you know, natural to us. In fact, sometimes it's the exact opposite. That it's easy for us to leave God alone than to seek His face and seek Him earnestly. But we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to seek God always, because why? God is always with us, right? Everybody has heard of that buzzword, the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere and around everything at all times. There's nowhere on this earth, in this universe, in this entire existence where God is not at. He is everywhere at all times. And because of that, God is with each and every one of us. But God doesn't pressure Himself upon people. He says, no, I want you to come and seek Me out. And we have the availability to do that because God is always with His children. And if you are a believer in Jesus, then you are one of His children. And because you are one of His children, He has a covenant with you. He is a covenantal God. That He says, I make this covenant with you, that I will be around you. And if you believe in Me and you have faith in Me and you seek Me and My kingdom and My righteousness first, all these things will be given to you. All the greatness, all the glory of God Himself will come and rush into your life and fill your life fully to the extent that you actually want it. But there's times when we become negligent in seeking God and having God in our lives. There's times when we figure out that we assert our dominance and we lose the connection that we have with God. He seems lost to us, right? And we wonder, where's God then? We assert our dominance in that way. We like to be in control. We know people like to be in control. It's not a myth. It's not a foregone conclusion. It's not something that you can say that, no, I don't like to be in control, because if you're human, you like to be in control. I like to be in control. But sometimes we're in control so much that we don't allow God in our lives to help have Him help us in that control. There's sometimes that we become angry, we become depressed, we become anxious, and we stop trusting Jesus. We stop trusting God because of those things. There's other times in our lives when we let our desires drive us into something else where God does not want us to be. That we are led astray by ourselves, by Satan, by the evil ones, by something other than God. We let our human desires for things override God's desire for us in our life. We start focusing on things of this earth instead of focusing on things of heaven. And this is where God, all of a sudden, it's like we do things to find a temporary pleasure that leave us longing for something else. And we find ourselves in a long-term brokenness, because we've left God behind, because we're not seeking Him anymore. It's like, I got this. When I need you, I'll come back to you. And that always ends up in a drastic way. And it seems He becomes lost to us so quickly sometimes. But the thing is that we're not truly alone. We're not alone. God is still there. God is and always will be omnipresent. He will always be around. But But there is a way to become lost. There is a way for that to happen. There's many people in the Bible that feel lost. King David felt lost. Do you think he felt lost when he was sitting in the caves and wondering if he was going to be living from one day to the next? Do you think he felt lost during all that time? How about Isaiah? Do you think he ever felt lost when all of a sudden he ran and he was in a desolate place with nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and just so tired that he couldn't even continue on anymore? I'm pretty certain that they had a sense of loss of something. Maybe it wasn't a loss of God, but it was a loss of something. Because we can all feel lost at some point in time. But how do we truly know if what we've lost is God or not? How do we know that if we feel lost, that we've lost God or we've lost contact? Well, I've got good news for you. Perfect news for you. God is never lost. Let me say that again so you can write it down. God is never lost. He's always there. It's that omnipresent thing. He's always there. And anytime you would call yourself a true follower of Jesus means that he cannot lose you and you cannot lose him. If you call yourself a true follower of Jesus, you cannot be lost. But we can find ourselves in a state where we've lost awareness of him, or we've lost that connection or that intimacy with his presence. We can and we do find ourselves there sometimes, where the awareness and the intimacy is just missing in our lives. And it's because of that that God feels lost, but he's not. But the good news is, like I gave you, we can always return to Jesus. We can always return to having Jesus in our lives and having him be a part of our lives and having that loss or that emptiness inside of us be filled up again. We don't have to walk through life in such a way that we have this emptiness in our heart, that it feels like our heart is not full, like it's almost deflated, in fact. We need to put something in there. I was talking about my dog earlier today. You know, when my dog comes up and gives me that hug, it fills my heart. You know, when I'm in a room with Jesus and I know he's hugging me and he's there with me, it fills my heart. We just have to want that. We have to be around that. I remember the story of the prodigal son. Maybe you guys remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where, you know, the prodigal son, he felt like he wanted to go do his own thing. He had his own desires, things of this earth and not things of heaven. And he said, "Dad, I want my money. I want my money, Dad. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a fortune. I'm going to do wild things and do whatever." And he went off and he spent all of his money. Next thing you know, he's starving. He got a job feeding the animals that, well, he thought detestable even. But what he was feeding those animals was better than what he had. But like the prodigal son, he came to a decision. If you have your Bible still out, turn to that book of Luke in chapter 15. Turn to that. The book of Luke, chapter 15. And in there, I'm just going to read just part of the son's journey, to where it makes sense on what he was thinking and what he was doing. I want to start at verse 17, where it says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father.'" I want you to pay attention to those words I just said. "I will set out and go back to my father." Basically, this boy came to his senses. He came to his senses and he said, "This is where my life is at. It's not where I'm supposed to be." So he set out. He got up. He strapped on his boots. He got all ready, tied his cloak around him, and said, I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm going to be part of his life. And I'm hoping that he will accept me back in that way. So if you look down in verse 20, it says what he did. It says that he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, what did his father do? His father saw him. His father saw him and he was filled with compassion. And what did he do from there? Well, he hiked up his boots, strapped them on real tight, and he ran back to his son. He ran back to him. He put his arms around him. He kissed him and he welcomed him home. This is the part where if you're somebody that's walking out among and you feel lost, you feel a loss of a connection, God will welcome you back home. God not only stands there, but he will run back to you. He will throw his arms around you. He will kiss you and welcome you back into his presence. To be a part of who he is. But we have to do something. We have to do something to get to that point. You know, the thing about the Bible is that we're always given a key. We're always given an answer in the Bible. In this instance, when we lose connection with God, we're given an answer. King David gives us an answer in the same verse that we had before with 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. Chapter 22, verse 19. He says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant back in. He says, be devout in seeking God. He says to build up the sanctuary. Do you know what the sanctuary is, folks? We are the sanctuaries. We are the temples of God. We are the ones we're supposed to be building up. We are supposed to be devoted to God, to seek Him, to find Him, to build ourselves up. And when that happens, that we're supposed to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the Lord. Folks, that's us. We're supposed to bring ourselves back to God. We're supposed to bring ourselves back in His presence, in His grace, and in His anointing, and being part of God and who He is and what He wants for our lives. Because we're told if we seek Him, He will be found by us. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, says, if we seek Him, He will be found by you. He's not lost. He's not hiding Himself from you. He's not somewhere that you have to go in and you have to play hide and seek with God. This is not a hide and seek game with God. This is a seek, and I'm standing out in the open. All you have to do is open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart. Open your life. And you can be restored. Can be restored to what God has for you in life. Because God created us in His heart a long time ago. And He did it for a very special reason because He loves you. Before you were ever born, God knew you. He knew exactly who you were going to be. He knew exactly how He was going to bless you. He knew exactly how you were going to do things for His kingdom and His plan and His world. If you doubt that, I want you to look it up in the book of Ephesians. Because in the book of Ephesians it says, for we are God's handiwork. We are His handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Right? And these are good works which God prepared in advance for us to do, for us to be a part of that, to seek God and to know God, to abide in Him and be a part of His life forever and ever, and knowing who He is in our life. Jesus is never lost. Jesus is never lost. He's always around. When you call out to Him, He's always listening. He's always hearing your prayers. He's always loving on you. He's always showing compassion. Because Jesus never loses track of us. He never leaves us alone. He may not be doing exactly what you want Him to do, but He never leaves us alone. But the thing is that we can lose track of Him. We can lose that connection to Jesus that we've had before. We can lose a connection to Jesus that we've yearned after for so long. And I ask you a question, because sometimes, you know, well, sometimes we can become lost. We're human beings. Sometimes we can lose that. And I want to know, do you feel like you're in a place now where you've lost that connection, like Jesus seems lost to you? Does it seem that way? Does it seem like you need that connection with somebody in your life that can fulfill your life the way you know it can be? That's Jesus. Jesus knows where you're at. Right here, right now. He knows where you're at. And He wants to be available to each and every person. And if you are this one of these people that you seem like you've lost that connection, it's not lost, it's just misplaced. And you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity right now that you can rededicate your life to Jesus and to get that connection back, to get that awareness back, to get that intimacy back, to get that relationship back. All you have to do is make the choice to get up, to go back home, to devote yourself, to earnestly seek Him. When you do that, your life will change. It will turn around. That emptiness that you feel inside you will fill up beyond belief, running over the brim. It's going to feel like your heart's going to explode. You got so much joy, so much love, so much compassion inside of you. It's going to feel like your whole life is just, where have I been during this entire time? Do you need to rededicate your life back? Or perhaps you're somebody that just needs to dedicate your life now. That's the great part of it, is that He's here. He's here right now. I hope you can feel Him, because I feel Him. He's here. And He's saying, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you will open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you. So if you are one of these people right here, right now, that needs to rededicate your life, that needs to dedicate your life, don't waste any more time. Know that you are not lost. Know that you are loved. Know that you can have strength. Know that you have a place in His plan, in His kingdom, in His works, and that you were seen even before you were born, and you are loved even before you were born. So as we get ready to end the service this morning, and we get up and we're going to stand up and we're going to sing and we're going to worship Jesus and we're going to cry out to Him, if you are one of those people that needs to rededicate your lives, if you're a person that needs to dedicate your life, I'm going to be up here, and I would love to pray with you, to have your heart filled beyond belief, to have it to a point where it feels like it's going to just explode. So let's stand and let's worship. And if you're one of those people, don't hold back. Find the awareness. Find the connection. Find the intimacy with Jesus. So